Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What are you surrounded by? I said, what are you surrounded by? Close. Greg was paying attention. Gold star. I'm guessing that a lot of you, or probably none of you, were at Luther Park Bible Camp with me in the summer of 2000. I was back on staff there after a 9-year gap, having been a junior counselor in 1991, making a whopping $25 a week before taxes. This time, in 2000, I was serving as camp chaplain, where my primary responsibility was, surprise, surprise, planning and leading worship services. Some things never change, right? And one thing from camp that had become a tradition in those intervening years between my times on staff was for the staff during training to come up with an energetic way for the campers to memorize that summer's theme verse. The theme verse the summer before, which we learned as kind of an example of what to do, was Micah 6:8, and I still remember this one, how they did it. Goes, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? I tamed that last part down because you know how middle school kids can get. So our theme verse in 2000 was Hebrews 12:1, and just a little bit of verse 2. And I'll do my best to do a one-person version of, think of one staff person with 100 and some campers responding. What are you surrounded by? Witnesses. What are you surrounded by? Witnesses. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, let us lay down sin and run the race that's set before us. Run the race that's set before us with our eyes on God. I think if you found some, especially some of the staff from that summer, maybe even some of the campers, and if you hollered, what are you surrounded by? It might be like awakening a sleeper cell, that they'll start to respond instantly. You know, at the beginning of each week of campers, those kids, they were reluctant to participate, you know, because they didn't look cool in front of their friends, barely mumbling along with us. But on the Friday of that week, closing worship, in front of their parents of all people, these kids would be yelling this verse at the top of their lungs. I think they were going to knock the shingles off of the chapel roof. Throughout their time at camp, those campers, and even us staff people, learned how each of us is surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, cheering us on and supporting us as we walk by faith, following in the ways of Jesus. The staff that summer really took this to heart as we figured out how to live in community and working through all the drama that came with that. And we found ourselves that whole summer really leaning on our cloud to make it through all sorts of challenges. Our program director's brother was dying. One of our staff people was blind and was terminal with a brain tumor. We had joy with an upcoming staff wedding, and just all the stuff that happens in life. It was a challenging, but a good summer being surrounded by our cloud. So, who is in your cloud of witnesses? Who is there cheering you on? Think for a minute and picture those saints in your lives, those who are rejoicing alongside Jesus, and those alive now. Think about those people. Picture them in your mind and thank them for cheering you on. Now look around at all the people gathered here today. We are all saints. Even Bob, you're a saint too. We're all there to cheer each other on. We are all claimed by God to be God's own children. We have all been marked with the cross of Christ and gathered together into that great cloud of witnesses. But even in the midst of joy and celebration comes pain and difficulty. Life together isn't just wall-to-wall sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. It's hard to be involved in church. Church life isn't an easy stroll in the park, as many of us know. And post-pandemic, studies have observed that it has become even tougher to be in the church. It's become more extreme and more extremist, less socially acceptable, more divisive. Attendance and membership at mainline churches are declining. Those groups, the spiritual but not religious, and the nones, the N-O-N-E-S, no religion, those groups are on the rise. Congregations are closing. Pastors are being forced out of ministry, unable to find other calls when their churches close. Parachurch ministries fold, their funding having dried up through church closures or governmental budget cuts. Preschools and church-operated elementary schools, even high schools, are closing due to declining enrollment. Being a part of today's church at times sure feels like we're being mocked and flogged and chained and imprisoned. Feels like we're being stoned to death and sawn in two and killed by the sword. It makes us feel destitute and persecuted and tormented, like we're wandering 40 years aimlessly through the desert. And we might find ourselves asking, God, we're really trying to lean into this by faith business, but could you just lay off poking any more pins into that church voodoo doll just for a little while? Please? By faith, our ancestors did all these great things. They lived in that assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Yet, they didn't immediately receive what God had promised to them, because God had something better planned. Think about Moses. All his life, Moses was promised great things. His mother put him in that basket and set him into the river to keep her promise to give him a better life. Moses became part of Pharaoh's family, the royal line, with all the rights and privileges thereof. Then Moses found out who he really was, whose he really was. He escaped and he got Pharaoh to let the people go, freeing them from this life of servitude. Then came those 40 action-packed years of wandering through the desert by faith, driven by God's promise to bring the people to the promised land, only for God to lead Moses to the top of Mount Nebo, point out the promised land off in the distance and say, Bazinga, you can look, but you can't touch, because you're going to die right here, right now. Oofta. That escalated quickly, didn't it? It's almost like your younger siblings standing way too close to you with a finger just a frog's breath away from your nose, and they're proudly proclaiming, I'm not touching you. But you're the one who loses out. Where's your cloud when you need them? Who's cheering you on then? Who is there supporting you? Who is standing up for you? Sometimes the most unexpected people become part of your cloud. When I was a freshman in high school, our high school band took a trip to Chicago for a band festival and a day at Six Flags. Now, it was expected, and we were told very forcefully, that we should stay close to our friend group while in the big city. You know, coming from a town of 2,600 to going to Chicago, you know, that's a big deal for us. And staying close to a friend group instantly sent me into a panic. To say I was a nerd with few friends was an understatement. I had a lot of strikes against me as a freshman in high school. I played contralto, clarinet, and band. It's an instrument that nobody plays. I competed in FBLA parliamentary procedure. And so you know how a lot of times people will be recruited to play sports for another team or another school? Our FHA chapter, the Future Homemakers of America, tried to recruit me to do parliamentary procedure for them. I was a year ahead of schedule in math, and my family was upper, lower, middle class. We did not have a lot of money. So to be told that when we left the hotel or when we were running around Six Flags, that we were to stay physically close with friends, well, I just kind of ignored that. It's hard to stick with a friend group when you don't have any friends in the band, right? The night before we went to Six Flags, we were on our own for dinner. I decided to walk over to a nearby Burger King. It was just a couple blocks from our hotel, so I figured I'd be fine alone for that short time. But about halfway there, I heard someone call my name. No, it wasn't the voice of God calling me. This was a group of girls from my high school band. They were juniors and seniors from the high school band. They were popular juniors and seniors from the band. Some of them were cheerleaders, some of them were on the dance team, some of them even played in the jazz band. So these were some cool cats, I'm telling you. They had no reason to associate with me, none whatsoever. But they got my attention and made me join them for dinner. I couldn't tell you what we ate, who I sat by, how long we were at that Burger King. But those girls took a risk. They did the right thing. They cared for me. They cheered me on. They encouraged me. Even if it was just for 1 hour at a suburban Chicago Burger King. One thing that has helped God's people deal with discouragement since the beginning of time is knowing that we are not alone, that someone is there to cheer us on. From the earliest biblical times, God's people have followed in the footsteps of those who were unsure of what was coming next. Today, we follow in the footsteps of those who, by faith, trusted in God, even though they didn't know what was coming down the road. We follow a God who does not and will not abandon us. We follow the path of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we can see joy in the midst of grief, wholeness in the midst of brokenness, faith in the midst of doubt. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses that even when life is imperfect, when doubt and struggle and grief threaten to overwhelm us, we can set aside all the crud and gunk and garbage that weighs us down. We can keep our eyes on Jesus, who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. God has called us all to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. God gives us faith to go out by faith with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that God's hand is leading us and God's love is supporting us the entire way. Amen. Amen.